chapter 13 to 17 last week, where Jesus is the night before he's going to be crucified, and he's given his final instructions to the disciples as to what's really important in life when he leaves and what we need. And last week we talked about the Holy Spirit, if you remember. And I thought, well, why not we just take that whole section and see what Jesus said about prayer? You know, isn't that a good idea? Or maybe not. But anyhow, that's what we're doing. And so we're looking in various passages of John 14 to 16 on the subject of prayer when Jesus talked about it. Let's read alternately this time. It's not quite as many verses as last time. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Till now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. And may God bless the reading of his wonderful holy word. I want to look at eight different items here concerning what Jesus has said about prayer, just my own kind of interpretation, what I got out of it. And number one, what about prayer? Jesus seems to be saying that faith in Jesus, faith in him, and his way of life is the foundation for our prayers. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and I will do whatever you ask. He wants us to trust him, not just to believe that, okay, he's going to answer my prayers. That's important to have faith that, you know, when I pray that God does hear me and somehow he's going to answer my prayers, maybe not exactly the way I want, but somehow he's going to do that. It's important to believe that, of course, and may God increase our faith in that area. But I think as you look in the context here, he's just saying, believe in me, believe in who I am. May your heart be won over in terms of who I am. So that you're living kind of in the same spirit of life that I am. Believe in me. For example, in John 13, at the beginning of this whole session that he was talking to the disciples, how did he start? It was the disciples had, you know, the dirty feet and they were too proud to wash each other's feet. And it was Jesus who took the towel and says, no, you know what? No duty is too low. And our heart should be to minister to other people. And it doesn't matter how high and mighty you think you are, you get down there on your knees and you wash people's feet, as it were. And of course, he was not only talking about the physical service, he was talking about, as he mentions, equates washing and cleaning with sin in our lives. And he says, you know, I just keep on washing you. I just keep on cleaning you because you need it, and I love you, and I want to have a relationship with you. And he says, do that with each other. Keep on serving each other humbly. Be forgiving to each other. Be understanding to each other, because, you know, we kind of get on each other's nerves once in a while. Isn't that right? He says, that's the way I am. Do you believe in me? Right? Do you believe in me? Do you believe in me? And I think what he's saying is, the more we kind of enter into to what Jesus has shown about himself, God in the flesh, the way God is, right? The more he's shown us of himself to us, the more we reflect on it. I think what he's saying is, you know, that's going to have an effect on your prayer life and the way you see answers to prayer. Because it's not just a matter of, well, here's my list, God, and this is what I want. And if you love me, you'll give it to me. And if not, whatever. You know what I'm saying? We can pray kind of selfishly, rather than a spirit of God wanting to give us things in that spirit of becoming like him and a witness to his grace. Now, I'm not saying that we, you know, oh, well, I don't have a perfect, mature attitude in prayer, so maybe I shouldn't pray. I'm not saying that. Not at all. When Jesus was on earth, when anyone asked if they would pray for them, like maybe they'd healing or whatever, did he ever say no? Did he ever say no? As far as I know, Jesus never says no. Even when, you know, people got healed and, oh, thanks for healing, took off, and only one came back and said, oh, thank you. He said, where are the other nine? But he kept on healing, right? He kept on healing. Well, he says, I'll heal you as long as you promise to say thank you after healed you. Does he ever say that? No, he'll always answer prayers. He'll always, he just, even if it's with selfish motives sometimes, the fact that you even turn to him, that kind of delights his heart, I believe. He just wants to bring us along in maturity, right? And he'll always do that. I've seen God answer. Now, you almost get the sense reading here, don't you, that whatever you ask, I'll answer. But from our perspective, that's not always true, is it? I mean, I've prayed for people and that were sick and ill. And sometimes we have seen miracles. I could give you a list. And sometimes we haven't. And sometimes we pray really fervently and nothing seems to have happened at all. Some people have died in our congregation. We've prayed fervently. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, well, that's right. And do we have all the answers to these mysteries? I sure don't. All I know is that something does happen when we pray. Not always what we want exactly and when we want it and what have you, but we see an increased activity of God. And he's so pleased when we turn to him in any situation. But he says, believe me, trust me. And that's what he would like from us, I believe. Well, what's the second thing he says here? He says, number two, there's even more power. Listen to this. There's even more power available for us in prayer than there was for Jesus. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, he says, he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask. He's saying, you know, when I was on earth, I did all this stuff, but it's not like, well, I'm gone in heaven. Oh boy, now Jesus is gone. There's less power available. He says, no, because I'm going to the Father, because I'm being exalted. I've conquered death and I'm at the right hand of God, the Father. And we still answer prayers and I still am able to heal you. As a matter of fact, I have even more power because I've conquered death. That's what he's saying. And to us, that seems, well, kind of hard to believe. You know what I mean? All I'm saying is what he's saying. He's saying because of his death and resurrection and his conquering of death and his exaltation to the right hand of the Father through his humanity, he's saying that when we pray, we actually have more. He's more powerful. He actually has more of his power in prayer than when he was just here on earth. Isn't that something? That's what he said. I'll just leave it at that. Amazing. And number three. Third item here when it comes to prayer. We should ask as if Jesus were asking in order that God may be honored. He says, I'll do whatever you ask in my name so the Son may bring glory to the Father. You know, one of the dimensions of prayer that maybe we don't think about too much is, Lord, I want you to answer this prayer, not because, you know, it'll solve my problem, and God's concerned about that, of course, but also, Lord, when you answer, it's going to be such an incredible testimony to you, and you'll receive glory, just like we even heard this morning, right? He likes to hear stuff like that, I think. We were at a men's retreat a long time ago, myself and a bunch of men, and boy, it must have been in the 1980s. And we had a special speaker there, and the speaker was saying that one of the keys to answered prayer, see more answers in prayer, one of the keys is to pray in such a way of saying, Lord, just think of how much glory you'll get if you answer this prayer. Doesn't that sound funny? But you know what happened was, and this was down in the Seattle area, but we had this retreat, and I thought, well, that's interesting. So I came back the next year. We went 2 years in a row. And someone said, hey, one of the men there says, can I give a testimony? And he went out there. He says, well, last year we were challenged at, you know, part of our prayer life to say, Lord, just think of how much glory this will give you if you answer this prayer. He says, I just want to give a testimony. I've been praying for my brother, I think it was, for like decades or whatever. And there's been no movement whatsoever in his heart towards coming to Jesus. He says, I just started praying that way. Lord, just think how much glory it would give you if my brother turned to you. And he says, this past year he gave his life to Christ. Isn't that interesting? Well, all I do is I tell you what he says, right? And it's up to us whether or not we want to incorporate that into our prayer life and our prayer thought. But there it is. I leave it with you. That's one thing that Jesus said. So that, we should ask, if Jesus were asking, in order that God may be honored, that the Son, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And number four, I think we say, in a spirit of constant dependence on and yielding to Christ produces greater results in prayer. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. There's a verse I think I've got. Yeah, it's right there, John 5. There's something really powerful here that we really don't quite totally grasp. Not that we totally grasp anything in God's Word, to be honest. We just get bits and pieces, right? But there's something very powerful. Did you know that even Jesus himself, when he was on earth as a human being, he was both God and man, but as a human being, he kind of lived his life in a way that a human being would live his life, you know? And as an example for us, right? This is the way that we live, you know, properly before God. And even Jesus said, you know, I don't live my life apart from God the Father. Like, okay, God, what do you want? You tell me what you want? Great, I'll do it. You say, well, isn't that the way we should be? No, he says, I don't even do that. You know, even though I'm, you know, God in the flesh, now I'm acting as a human being, and I'm showing you how to live. Even I don't say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? Great, I'll do it. He said, I don't even do that. Did you know that?
No.
What did he say? He said in John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, the Son can do nothing by himself. What? He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Jesus says, you know what? I just look for what God is doing right now. And he kind of shows me what he's doing. I just kind of join him. It's him that does the work. I'm just totally dependent upon him. I'm remaining. I'm abiding in him. And just going with the flow as he's working. And I just go along for the ride. Did you ever think of life like that? Or did you think of life more like, let's see, love people, you know, be responsible, attend church. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The list. If I don't have the list, I'm listless, right? The list. And so as Christians, even as Christians, we tend to... That's just how people live. Give me the list of do's and don'ts. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Not the tree of life. The tree of life is the life of God in us and through us. Living in harmony with, Lord, what are you doing? What's happening? Boy, I just want to be available for you to love through me right now. Is that a different way of living?
Yeah.
It's critical. Wow. Wow. You say, well, I just want to be a nice person. Well, God's nicer than we are. He's perfect. Why not let God do the good stuff through us and just go along for the ride and say, thank you, Lord. Does he get the glory when that stuff happens?
Yeah.
It's him that does the work, right? We just remain in him, and the fruit just comes from that. It's entirely different. So I leave that with you. And I think you could almost do a huge sermon series on this very subject. Would you agree with me?
Yeah.
I was struck again today, like, boy, you know, like most of us, really, frankly, we just kind of, tell me what to do, God. And prayer's like, here, help me do this. Rather than just get in the flow of God. Wow. Anyhow. I'll leave that with you. I'll move on here. What's the next one? Number five, isn't it? Yeah. God's power on our lives is one way that demonstrates we are followers of Jesus. He goes on to say, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's just like Jesus said, unless you remain in me, you can't produce fruit. It's that sense of remaining in the power and the movement of God in our lives. And by the way, I mentioned last week, I'm going to say it again today. Did you know that when you become a Christian, you're not just like forgiven, but you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? And did you know that Holy Spirit is God?
Yeah.
Part of the Trinity, right? And did you know that therefore the scriptures say that when you receive the Holy Spirit, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's the place where God lives. Did you know that the presence of God is in you and wants to come out through you and shine out of you? That's Christianity. Christianity isn't doing a bunch of good stuff, you know what I mean? It's God Almighty shining out of us for His glory. There's a big difference. There's a big difference, folks. And I was struck by this, you know, as I was preparing this message, I'm thinking, wow, you know, like I tend to just go back to, okay, let's be nice and, you know, prayer. And what does it mean? And I'm got a good hankering to do a bit of a sermon series on that. I don't know. We need to plug into the Spirit. You know what I mean? Like, the big deal is not like, okay, what's your attendance? How much money's coming in? And, you know, are things happening? What programs do you have? And stuff like that. I mean, all that stuff's good and everything. But the big question is God showing up and are we following Him? That's the big miracle, right? That's reality. Oh my goodness, I don't know how many churches and whatever are moving in that direction. And I don't know if we are, but I'd sure like us to be. And let's pray to that end. God, show up. There's more here than we understand. He's probably just wanting to burst out of our lives and do stuff, and we're just kind of off on our own. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too dramatic. I don't know. Sometimes I get a little dramatic, don't I? Sorry about that. Number six. We now have direct access to the Father in prayer because of Jesus. Jesus said, in that day, you'll no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask, in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. You used to just sort of pray and hope God will hear. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. When you pray to God, He says, you know what? Your prayers are now, because of what I've done on the cross and the resurrection, there's somehow that curtain has been ripped in two in terms of the presence of God. Now I don't have to say, can't you see Ted praying for this? Father, will you please answer his prayer? I ask you to do that. He's saying, no, in some way, because I live in Christ, in Ted, and Ted is in me. And when Father looks down, he sees Jesus Christ, Ted and Jesus Christ. And he says, oh, it's Jesus Christ. I always listen to my son, Jesus Christ. So whenever I pray, I go directly to God. I do not pass go. I do not collect $200. I go directly to God. And sometimes I forget that. Sometimes I forget that privilege. You know what I'm saying? It's good stuff to reflect on, isn't it? The stuff maybe we know in our head, but we forget. But when we pray, it's like, it's good stuff. As a matter of fact, that's why I gave you a little handout in a bulletin there, a little reminder sheet. Maybe you want to, maybe two or three of you might want to put it up on your fridge. You never know. But anyhow, I asked him a question. Why is it that we have a hard time, sometimes we have a hard time praying. Would you agree with that? Yeah. So it's hard. You know, life is busy. Life is tough. And you have all these incredible promises about, you know, the power and presence and peace of God and the power of God. You have all these promises, but it's hard. Why is it hard? I have a bit of a theory here. I think number one, part of the reason might be because we're afraid of God. Even as Christians, I think we're still afraid of God. See, why do you say that? Because we still think in terms of, have I pleased God today? Did I even pray? Do I even like to pray? I don't even like to pray sometimes. I'm thinking if I come in prayer to Him, He's going to say, no, it's been a long time since I've heard from you, you know. And hey, you know, well, you don't read your Bible. You've been mean to so-and-so, and you're mean to whatever. I mean, I'm really disappointed in you. That's what we hear, right? And that becomes like, I'm afraid, honestly, I'm afraid to get really close to God. I'm afraid to break through. There's no prayer barrier anymore, but we think there is. Jesus took care of that, right? There's no prayer barrier anymore. The curtain's ripped in two. And we're no longer accepted on the basis of our performance, right? That's the law? It's not the old covenant? I don't know. No longer accepted on the basis of performance. We're accepted on the basis of Jesus, His righteousness. But it's hard for us to believe that kind of stuff, isn't it? So I think we're afraid sometimes to just come into His presence because we failed. And I think sometimes we're afraid of getting too intimate with Jesus and with God. Because you know what? From everything I read in the Scripture tells me that God is crazy mad in love with you and me. That He loves us infinitely more than we love Him. Everything I read in the Scripture tells me that. And we're going to talk about that in the last little point here, but But he wants intimacy. Like, he wants to be a part of every part of our life. He wants to shine out of our life. He wants, in a serious relationship, that changes everything, right? I mean, like, okay, here's the situation. You're a gal, and there's this guy that really is kind of, he likes you a lot, and you say, oh, yeah. So you're like, I like going with this guy. We have a good time. You're not married or anything. But this guy really has fallen mad over heels in love with you, and he's saying, oh, please, please, will you marry me? And all of a sudden, it's like, I kind of like you, but I'm not ready for that kind of a commitment. And because when you become two, you give up a lot of freedom and control in your life. Is that right? At least that's what I found. It's a scary thing to be committed in intimacy. And sometimes we're just not sure about God, not sure if we can entrust our lives, really, kind of relax and trust our lives to God, kind of lose that sense of independent control. Do you know what I'm saying? We're afraid to be close to God. We're afraid to be intimate. I'm not so sure. I like you a little bit, God. I like you when you help me out, but to be just intimate with you so my heart is raptured with you rather than the things of this world, I'm not sure about that. So I think that's another reason we're afraid. Oh, there's other things too. Sometimes we're just plain proud. God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray. Well, sometimes we're just, no, I don't need God. It's there. And sometimes it's painful to pray. It's hard to pray. It is really hard to pray. Like the disciples on that night when Jesus, could you please pray for me? Jesus was in quite a bit of distress in the Garden of in the garden before he was arrested. And his disciples said, yeah, sure, what happened? They fell asleep. It's very hard to focus, concentrate. It takes effort to pray. Would you say amen to that? Yeah. I mean, our brain's going, whoop, whoop, whoop. And I got ADD, which is even worse. And it's hard to focus and concentrate and just to relax in His presence. And it's hard. So there's lots of reasons why it seems that prayer is a barrier, but it's not. But from our perspective, it seems like. Okay, number 7, where we are here. The more we see God responding to our prayers, the more joy we have. He says, ask and you'll receive, and joy, and your joy will be complete. There's nothing, what a joy when you see God answer a prayer, or to see God supernaturally at work in a situation, because He does love me. He does care about me. You know, as we've heard this morning, and we could share like answers to prayer and different things, And what happens when I share a personal experience, and I haven't shared too many this morning, but when I do share a personal experience, I notice everybody's interest goes like this. Did you notice that? This is a real life story. Like, did God really show up in this situation? Like, wow. And it just, and when I get back to, and now my third point is, it's like, everybody's ready to go to sleep again, you know. And so I should share more illustrations, shouldn't I? And, yeah, yes. Sorry. But anyhow, it's true. He says the more you're into prayer and the more you see God at work, the more joy you're going to have. He does exist. He does care. He's with me. What joy. And you like to share it with other people. Did you know that happened? Wow. And number 8, finally, last point I've got here. Because we love Jesus and believe in Him, our Father loves and listens to us just as much as He loves and listens to Jesus. He says, no, the Father Himself loves you. It's not just like, oh, well. But no, He loves you. And because you've loved me and believe that I came from God. And then, you know what, later on in the next chapter, here's what He says. What He's saying here, of course, is, look, God's going to answer your prayers because He loves you. Not just sort of, but He really loves you. And the next shocking section I want to go into is John 17 at the bottom here. This is just when Jesus is praying that night, just a chapter later. And He says, this is His final prayer, right? He's talking about believers like us. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that You've sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Wow. I've made You known to them and will continue to make You known in order that the love You have for Me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. The love You have for Me, how many, do you think the Father loves Jesus a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a bit, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And who would be bold enough to say, because I've accepted Jesus and He's in my life, the Father loves me just as much as He loves Jesus. How many of us would be that arrogant and bold enough to stand up and say that? But isn't that what Jesus is saying? Boy, I'd say that with a lot of humility, but with incredible gratitude. And I believe it maybe that much, to be honest. Let's be honest. I believe it maybe that much. I hope next year I believe it that much. But I believe that's what He's saying, because Jesus is in you, and you're totally as righteous as Him. I love you as much as I love my Son. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And I did have a handout in your bulletin. Let's see if I even got it here. Yeah, this one here. Practical tips to pray. 8 things. It's sort of a summary of the 8 things that we talked about this morning. Some ways we can pray as a church. We can sign up for the prayer chain. It's very easy. If you haven't done that, I'd recommend that. It's just, you know, whenever someone asks for a prayer request, it just gets sent out on the prayer chain. And you just get a chance to read it in your computer, and you just say a quick prayer. We have the sign-up sheet at the back. Ian, I think, put one back there. And you can also email him if you'd like to join for that. You can come early. Number 2, you can come early to Sunday morning prayer with the pastor. We've, you know, been trying to start that up again. We actually did it this morning. There's 3 of us praying. It's great. But we're going to be committed. Okay, nope. I'm going to do that 9:30 every Sunday morning for 10 minutes. We're just going to pray. And we'll, you know, if we've got time, we'll pray for each other a little bit, of course. But mainly want to pray for the service and that God would speak through the message. And, you know, my concern is that, you know, by the time I've finished speaking, that God keeps speaking. Right? It's not like, oh, that was a wonderful message, Chad. Boom, nothing happens. No, even if it's a lousy message. Man, that was a lousy message, but God sure spoke to me. That's great. Isn't that wonderful? So who cares if it's a good message or a bad message, as long as God shows up and speaks to our hearts after it's through. Do you agree with that? Isn't that what's most important? So, but you don't need to pray. God says, will you pray and ask me to do that? Yeah, please do that. And then we're going to start something up in 3. Come to monthly prayer meetings at the church. I'm going to start that up again. Monthly, every monthly. From 10 a.m. to 12 noon on Saturdays, just once a month. And I've got the dates in your little handout here. First one's going to start October 31st, Halloween. 10 to 12. And we just pray for each other, pray for the church. And there'll be a break between the 2 hours. So maybe you just want to go 1 hour or the other one or both, whatever. But I'm just going to commit ourselves to that, because it's always a good thing to pray. It does wonderful things. So, Father, let's pray. Thank you for your word today, Lord. And that is our prayer, that no matter what was said, or if it was said inaccurately or in whatever way, that somehow you would take a couple of things that have been said and minister individually. Holy Spirit, you can do that individually to people's hearts here, where we need it, each one individually. And just speak to us and bring us to the next step in our relationship with you, that we might be more comfortable and more daring to get real with you in prayer. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.